President Michael D. Higgins said the purchase of Twitter can hardly be described as anything other than the manifestation of an incredible and dangerous narcissism. And although he didn't mention Elon Musk by name in his unscripted remarks, it is understood he was referring to the tech billionaire. Speaking at Dublin City University about the role of media in the battle against climate change, he also said the state had been ravaged due to decades of attack from an unorthodox laissez-faire economic narrative. Now, it's not the first time that Michael D. Higgins has made his feelings known on a controversial subject, but how does this sit with his role as president? Well, I'm joined on the line by Senator Michael McDougall, former Attorney General, and also Dr. Owen Daly, lecturer in constitutional law at NUI Galway. And you're both very welcome. Senator McDougall, if I could start with you, because there are two things here. There are the comments in and of themselves and the fact that he made them at all. Has he overstepped the mark, firstly?
Well, firstly, I want to say that I agree with him. That the fact that a huge organ of international opinion and expression can be sold by its board to a person like Elon Musk and made private and made subject to his whim thereafter is concerning. And, you know, it does strike me that bodies as important as Twitter probably should be regulated in a way which requires their ownership to be spread and diversified, so that a single individual can't just arrive and make a bid and take it into his private domain. Mm-hmm. And I agree with him on that. So I mean, I'm not going to tog out against him on that issue. I agree with him completely. I believe, by the way, that in Ireland, so there was an element of narcissism in the past to people who tried to buy up large chunks of our media, and I said that in the past. So the same applies to this, with even greater importance. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is the general drift. These were unscripted additional remarks he made to a script, but the scripted bits are frankly a bit odd and a bit off in my view. He announced that the state had been ravaged due to decades of attack from an orthodox laissez-faire economic narrative that demanded that its role must be minimal, non-interventionist, and asserting that the private sector should lead in all aspects of life. That simply is not the case. I mean, you look at things like telecommunications in Ireland. We have regulators. Yes, we have competition between the various mobile phone companies, but there's regulation. In broadcasting, we have broadcasting regulation. And in electricity generation, for instance, there are more than one generating company. That's probably good, but we haven't privatized the transmission network, and we have energy regulators who control all of these activities in the interest of the common good. And you know, Michael D is he reverts to type, I have to say, and I like him dearly, but he reverts to type, the kind of student socialist politics of the 1970s, I have to say, with this kind of thinking that the state has been ravaged by all of these events, which in
but mightn't agree with him, but he's entitled to have a view.
He's perfectly entitled to have a view, but he should be moderate in the language he uses. The state in the 1970s was in an immeasurably worse condition than it is now. People were poorer, emigration was there. The state owned, by the way, the state owned vast tracts of the economy. They had monopolies in phones, the monopolies in broadcasting, monopolies in energy, monopolies in shipping, monopolies right across the board, insurance. They had all sorts of their fingers in everything. Mm-hmm. And we were failing as an economy. And I do think that Michael D should actually take a long, hard look at the society, which he rightly said was unjust in the 1970s, and look at today's Ireland and not say that the state has been ravaged by what has happened in the meantime.
But has he crossed a constitutional line in expressing those views?
Well, look, he is what he is. He is the old-fashioned left-wing socialist. Left to his own devices and in front of a student audience in a university, the real Michael D comes out. Everybody who knew that was the nature of the man. He's more pro-Cuba than pro-America. We know these things about him. But to be honest with you, I think he didn't do himself a service by delivering an unbalanced speech of this kind, attacking all the successes that have been so important for Ireland over the last 30 years.
Okay, Owen Daly, who's listening on the line, you've been looking at the comments made by the President. What's your assessment of the scripted and unscripted comments? Have they, in your view, crossed the constitutional line?
I don't think they've crossed the constitutional line, because while there are certain constitutional limits to what the president can do, for example, you know, he shouldn't interfere in current legislative debates, for example, because of his constitutional role. He probably shouldn't interfere with certain foreign policy decisions and so on. The Irish presidency is a bit unusual because of the fact that, on the one hand, there are very few powers, but it's also a directly elected office. And that does bring a certain legitimacy. And, you know, one thing I don't get about Senator McDougall's comments here is the idea that this socialism is something that, you know, that it's hidden to the public or they didn't know about when they elected him. He was very clear about his background, his values, his history when he was elected twice. And so,
I don't think that's what Michael McDougall said. Michael,
I think I said the direct opposite. I think everybody knew the day they put number one beside his name precisely what he thought and what kind of inner thoughts went around his brain.
He's articulating, well, what I mean is when you say it's student politics or appealing to a student audience, it's exactly what the public voted for. And actually, it might seem like something archaic to you, but you know, in an era of recurrent crises around things like housing and health in particular, a lot of people do share those concerns, and a lot of people do share those values. A lot of people do feel that we live in a society where the essentials are not affordable, where the essentials are not provided, and where we have let financialized capitalism run amok. Now, the point isn't whether or not we agree on that. We're never going to agree on that. The point here is that he won the election. He won two elections, and that he's elected to give voice to those values, because the presidency is an office of values. There was one very revealing moment in the 2011 campaign where the seven candidates were asked in a TV debate, I forget which one, they were asked, do you believe the presidency is a political office? And he was actually one of the few candidates who rose his hand and said yes. And, you know, people vote for
and
him.
And is he right? Was he right in that answer, Owen?
Well, it's a political office in some senses and not others. So, I mean, obviously he can't be party political in the sense of getting dragged into the fray of party politics. I mean, that would be obviously improper. But he can't be politically neutral. You can't be an elected president, the only office holder elected directly by the entire nation. You can't be a political office holder and be politically neutral. You must embody some set of values. A fully neutral president would be meaningless, and it would be a charade. Okay. It would be, you know, ridiculous, obviously.
Michael McDougall.
Well, I go along with that a good way with Owen. I mean, I do take the view that you know, he doesn't have to be like the Queen of England, behaves like a statue in many respects. I don't think that that's the man that we're dealing with, but I also make the point, I mean, for instance, Michael D should read the Constitution and Article 45 of the Constitution, because it actually says that the state, in its economic policies, should favour private enterprise. So, I mean, this notion that private enterprise is bad in some way is actually directly contradicted by the terms of Article 45 of the Constitution. So, I mean, he's fully free to articulate old-fashioned socialist values if he wants to. But all I'm saying is he should be balanced, and he shouldn't make the case that somehow Ireland has been ravaged, the state has been ravaged due to decades of attack from orthodox laissez-faire economic narrative. The state is immeasurably better off. And I'm taking into account what Owen's saying about, say, for instance, they had the housing shortages and things like that. But even taking that into account, this state is immeasurably better and radically different from the state where which existed in the 1970s, where government controlled virtually everything.
We'll leave that one there. Michael McDougall and Michael McDougall and Dr. Owen Daly, thank you both very much indeed. Coming up, international correspondent Belle True will join us to reflect on 2 months of war in Ukraine.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.